You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome to On the Bench. I'm your host for this episode, Brendan Sinone. I'm definitely not faking being happy right now, not being a grumpy little baby behind the scenes. Hi, Chris. Hi, Zach. How you guys doing?
Hi, Greg.
I'm awesome. Oh, hi. Sorry. Oh. Not a good start. Not a good
honor. We're going to get Chris grumpy now.
I, too, am trying to be very happy and not grumpy right now.
Zach, how are you doing? Are you happy?
I'm happy. I'm not letting you guys turn my frown upside down. Oh, wait. Other way around.
Not correct at all.
Excellent start, gentlemen.
Do you guys want to talk about football?
Yeah, quickly.
All right, let's get into it here. First off, a happy Thanksgiving to you gentlemen ahead of time here. To people listening to this on Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve, happy Thanksgiving to you. Eat food, be happy, spend time with family, be mildly perturbed with family, but then just push past it because these moments are fleeting in life. FSU is gearing up to play Florida at the Swamp this Saturday, so it's going to be... going to be a fun environment, gentlemen. It's going to be a primetime game. I know UF is struggling. We want to get into a little bit of game preview stuff. We'll have X's and no, excuse me. We'll have Null Thy Enemy. Too many Null puns for me to keep in mind. We'll have Null Thy Enemy on Friday morning with Trey and Dane to give you a more thorough look at what UF is doing. Also, the X and Nulls guys did a really good job scouting some of UF's tendencies. So we'll talk a little bit UF here and preview the game. But like, let's talk about Florida State and where this program is at right now. Last time we spoke to you, we were obviously commemorating the Jordan Travis injury, commemorating his career and all the wonderful things he's done at Florida State. He was at practice today. That was awesome to see. Everyone who saw him, big smile on their face. Really cool to see him out there that soon. But Chris, let's talk Tate Rodemaker. Let's talk about this offense, what it's going to look like under him. How are we feeling with what Tate did this week? You've obviously been at both practices, and what's your confidence level like with Tate going into this rivalry game?
I mean, Tate's been fine. It truthfully hasn't felt all that different with Tate at quarterback in the sense of how he goes about his day and practices. The only difference is the elevation of what team he's working with. Had a bad start to yesterday as far as like one of the first passes he attempted, getting it picked off. Mike Norvell referenced that today after practice on Wednesday. He responded pretty well to that and had an overall good day. Tate looks like Tate. Big arm, fully capable of pushing it down the field. The really strong parts of his game are things that I think FSU will need to lean into. I think the most pleasing thing to me, definitely at Wednesday's practice and overall over the 2 days, really clean sheets for the wide receivers and tight ends, a lot of good catches. Keon Coleman had a really acrobatic catch on Tuesday. I think Mike Norvell called it stupid, to be exact.
And then can you emulate the Destin Hill screech that went along with celebrating?
You know, it's what I imagine a hyena sounds like while getting skinned, but, you know. That's just what I'm going with.
Chris, it'd be like your Becky scream, but like if you continued it like on and off for about 30 seconds while running.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that to people in their cars driving for Thanksgiving in bad traffic. That's a great way to get, you know, sued for something we don't need to get sued for.
Put that out there.
Ja'Kai Douglas had a really nice day, both days. Truthfully, Ja'Kai Douglas has had two really good weeks in a row. He's just had good practice upon good practice. I think Tron looks as healthy as Tron has looked at any point this year. Mm-hmm. Disappointing that finally comes at the end for him. But what I'm getting at is I think we're going to make so much of Tate. And yes, Tate's going to matter significantly. It's going to be a central focus of Saturday's game, at least by kickoff, if not throughout the game. But to me, it's a supporting cast. Like, they look like they understand the task at hand. They look healthy. They look good. You know, Mike Norvell talked on Saturday about not needing drops, needing guys to support his quarterback well. It felt like that in practices.
Buyer Sonone for you two, sponsored by
the Turner Group.
Is the team, have they taken a noticeable step up in intensity coming off of what occurred over this past weekend with Jordan?
See, I'm going to say, I feel like it's a little cliche to get into that idea, but it's been a really good week. Like, they have been good. They've been focused.
But does it look
they follow the lead of their head coach first and foremost?
So, Chris, I'm coming at it from a different standpoint. I'm not saying it's because of the Jordan injury. I'm saying is they are – the question was whether, like, following that up, are they focused and do they have his energy? And it's because I think Florida is on the docket.
Yeah.
And I think there is extra – if there's one thing with the element of like Jordan not being able to play that maybe pushes things forward a little bit, is you have to be extra dialed in and focused, especially like the skill guys you alluded to. Like, I think there's an element of that, but I don't think this is necessarily, like, I know they're talking about finish for 13 and like, yeah, I think they want to play really well for Jordan. They want to play really well for like themselves and like this entire team, like collectively and all the work they put in. So like,
yeah,
I think it's a matter of focus because, you know, UF is coming up more than anything else, and you're ready for that environment.
I was having a talk with a specialist on Tuesday on his way into practice, and I, you know, just exchanging hellos and how are things going. Somebody I talked to once in
Lincoln Riley would be firing you or kicking you off the beat right now.
And he just dropped. I was like, "You feeling good?" He's like, "Yeah, I feel good." And this was before Tuesday's practice. He said Sunday was really good. He mm-hmm. said they came in, they kind of digested what had happened, they got to work, and they had a really good day. And he just matter-of-factly said to me, he's like, I think we're going to play really well. I think internally they feel very good about where they're at, how they're going about things, what they're doing. Now, obviously, they got to go and put it on display and execute and do everything you got to do in a football game to be successful. But, like, I don't think they're wallowing in some kind of depression or disparity right. or pain. I think there's a belief of, while Jordan Travis was the central focus of the football team and immensely important to the success they've had and where they're at, he's not the sole reason they got here. And I think that's understood by everybody involved. And now it's about supporting Tate and allowing him to groove into that position, get comfortable as a starter, and make sure they do what they need to do to alleviate all of the pressure being upon him. And that starts with, you know, O-line blocking it up, Trey Benson and other backs being effective, receivers catching it when it comes their way. If there's a turnover, defense handling that sudden change, getting out there and doing their thing. I feel like the football team's in a good place mentally and focused. So I guess that's a buy for the question ultimately. But like, I do also feel like it's kind of cliche, like we're all rallying around the wagons because one burnt down sadly.
Yeah, I think it's a matter of, you know, what's on the docket, you know how important this game is. And Mike prepares this team for these type of games. Like, that is a focal point for him. I'm curious, Zach, to get your thoughts, like, from the recruiting standpoint, with this game, these next two games, honestly, with Tate, and I guess what the – I don't want to use the term audition. I don't think that's fair, but these are data points that are coming into play, data points that we didn't know we would get going into the offseason with the future of the quarterback room as it applies to 2024. And obviously, still two games to play. I'll pull another cliche out to annoy Dane. When and you're in, like, that is still a thing for Florida State at this point. Like, you control your own destiny, another cliche. But I do think it's fair to take a macro look at the long-term outlook of the quarterback room when it applies to next season. So yeah, what are you looking for? What do you think these next few weeks hold for the way we evaluate or think of Tate Rodemaker beyond just these 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most important thing is that you're right. It is a data point. Tate's never gone into a week that I can remember, maybe Jacksonville State in 2020,
where he's known,
yeah, where he's known he's the starter for the entire week. And I think that's going to be important. Like, how does he handle a tough road environment in a rivalry game? These are the types of things you're going to be evaluating in your fourth year quarterback as you head into next season and debate whether you want to take a transfer quarterback, which we've talked at length on here about, and that we think, you know, at least as of like a week ago, that they might explore that avenue of taking a transfer quarterback. Well, you know, if Tate shows you over the next 2 weeks that he's a guy that can, you know, move this offense efficiently, and obviously it's going to be different personnel next year, so I'm not going to say like that it's going to translate year over year 100%, you know, perfectly, but I do think that the staff is going to be keeping an eye on just how he handles this. These are two tough games. Like Florida, like, you know, their record indicates they're not a great team, and you know, I don't think their defense is all that amazing, but that offense isn't bad. Like they can put up points, and they have some dudes on offense, especially, and on defense as well. So this, and then you play in an ACC championship game against a likely top 10 team. So yeah, to me, you know, it's not an audition because the staff knows who Tate is. They've been around him for 4 years now, and they see him every single day. He's had experience in games before, maybe not as a full-time, like, hey, you're the starter for the rest of the year role, but they know who he is. But I think this is the next data point. Does he handle this? It is pressure, you know, well enough to feel comfortable with him heading into next year. I think that's definitely something that the staff has to be thinking about.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We're doing it in the context of Florida. Florida's lost four in a row coming into this game. They've allowed at least, I think it's 33 or more points in three of those four losses. Or I'm sorry, yeah. No, they've allowed, 33 or more points in all of those losses. Mizzou had 33. Florida scored 31. I was mixing up the two numbers there. So, like, their defense is just, they're giving it away. And, you know, teams are running it. Teams are throwing it. It's not one or the other solely. They're not good on that side of ball. So, but they're a high pressure outfit on that side of ball. I mean, they're going to bring pressure. And, I know we don't want to get too knee deep in the game here, but one concern we have with Tate, or at least I have, and I think Brendan probably shares it because the numbers kind of bear it out. He performs very, very differently under pressure versus not under pressure.
Yeah.
And it's going to be very interesting to see how he handles that, because Florida statistically brings 5, 6, and 7 more than about anybody in the country. They're going to cat blitz you plenty off of the corner, and their nickel is going to be real active working down on you. So, like, he is going to face pressure. I don't expect Florida to basically make it crowded and make him throw into tight windows. I think it's more going to be about Florida taking away the time for him to make big throws. I think that's going to be their approach. That's what I expect. That plays to who and what Florida has been. But at the same time, Florida has allowed 33, 52, 39, and 43 in their last four games. So, like, go and seize the moment. Like, that to me, the thing is they gotta get Tate comfortable early. They need to run the ball, they need to get settled in as an offense. FSU does. But like, don't be fearful of going after Florida. Florida is made to go after from an offense versus their defense standpoint.
Okay, so real quick, and I want to touch on like how we would say like you attack Florida and how you would manage a game with Tate, and players need to step up. Like, I want to think about this in the context of this UF game. Real quick, shout out to our sponsor, Chattanooga Whiskey. They do an amazing job in the craft distillery game. Bourbon, rye, cask strength bourbon, all sorts of cool experimental stuff. Their Bottle and Bond is out right now for the fall, and it is exquisite. If you're trying to do some last minute shopping, you're going to run into a liquor store for Thanksgiving. I almost said Halloween. It is not Halloween anymore. For Thanksgiving, Chattanooga Whiskey will keep you nice and feeling good during the holidays. So Chattanooga Whiskey. Did your mom end up getting a bottle, Zach? Yeah,
I know that we're going to be drinking some Chat Whiskey in the Blossine household tomorrow on Thanksgiving.
What bottle did you get?
We got the 111. The 90. What's the
bourbon?
Yeah. The silver. I just know it by like the colors.
The color of the bottle. Yeah.
My wife ran into a store down by my in-laws. She's down there right now. I'm going to meet them down there. They had Bottled and Bond and the cast strength. And I told her we don't need any. We have some in the cupboard. Let a man work through what he has before you just add another bottle. But they did have it. Yeah. Meanwhile, Brendan has just an entire wall.
Brendan has not adopted that elevator yet.
Brendan's a collector. I'm a drinker. There's a difference.
So thank you to Chattanooga Whiskey for your sponsorship and for you guys for patronizing them. It is a legitimately awesome product. All right, let's talk about Tate. Let's talk about Florida's defense. Let's talk about guys who need to step up for Florida State going into this matchup. Chris, you referenced some of Tate's struggles when dealing with pressure. And two things first before I get into these little nerdy numbers here. Context with him is like very, very small. Like the numbers can be very misleading only because he doesn't have a ton of like at bats, right? So
yeah,
one or two bad plays or one or two good plays skew those at a pretty drastic rate. So that's the first thing. I can't remember what the second thing was going to be, so I'm just going to go into what the stats were.
There's a situational factor. He's always been plugged into games or come in when games are in hand. Vastly mm-hmm. different when you're starting with 60 minutes left on the clock.
So with Tate, and this is from PFF data, this is among quarterbacks with at least 20 dropbacks this season. Tate Rodemaker with a clean pocket, he has a 93.1 PFF passing grade, which is second nationally only to Caleb Williams. Let that sink in. Like, clean pocket, Tate, who we know has an elite arm, it looks really good. When he's pressured, he has a 38 PFF passing grade, which is 191st nationally out of 199 qualified quarterbacks. That was the other qualifier I wanted to put in there, is that like all quarterbacks are going to do better when they're passing from the clean pocket than under pressure. So that's why I think it's important to have the national ranking in there too, because it kind of shows where, you know, where they get skewed a little bit. But the most interesting thing to me, guys, is when he is pressured, his time to throw is 4 seconds, 4.08 seconds, which is 33rd nationally.
Which means he's holding onto the ball for 2 minutes.
That would be anecdotally, Zach, yes. And I think we see that, right? So, yeah, I think that.
The only reason I want to see him holding onto a ball on Saturday is if they're truly setting up a vertical shot. If it's just a matter of giving time to get vertical, to get long. I think, yeah, they're going to try to get it out of his ball, the ball out of his hand pretty quickly.
You force
schematically with some of the stuff they're going to try. I'm saying Florida State. I think Florida State's going to get coached to try to get out of his hand.
I think that's the right
play. But I do think he'll set up for shots.
Well, yeah, because his biggest strengths are his arm strength is one, right? That is there. That is ample. That is NFL, like, good arm strength. His mobility, number two, that is a thing. Can we get to the point where we just stop saying he's sneaky athletic? We know he's athletic.
So every single coach on Monday, a head coach and all three coordinators, and then Tony Tokars when he spoke today, everyone went out of their way, even when it wasn't asked about, to bring up how athletic he is.
So, we know he's athletic.
It's very well established at this point.
He was, he had the top GPS time.
And Tony referenced TikTok, which I absolutely love Tony for doing, for the record.
Yeah.
But even the TikTok was like 2 years ago. Like, we know. I know. Like, maybe nationally.
But it lived on.
Are you talking about the one where he was dancing, Chris?
No, I think some of the flips and stuff he was doing. Yeah. I saw that. I think he was out there with Chubba Purdy. Is that how far ago we're talking about?
I think like 2020. He had like an over 20 mile per hour GPS split on in one of their workouts, I guess, over the summer. And then, he does like flips and stuff. I think the biggest thing for him is he's not quick in like a short area. He's more like long speed, I would guess.
And he's more straight than wiggle.
Yeah. He's 6'4", 200 pounds. So like he's wiry, but he's, I think he has some physicality to his game. We haven't really seen him use his legs all that much. He used them some against North Alabama. I think he picked up one first down that way. But I'm interested to see kind of how they utilize that athleticism against UF.
His athleticism is something that you can utilize. And what's the way that you can utilize athleticism as well as arm strength while minimizing,
RPO?
You could do that, and that would maybe allow, depending on what the RPO is, like the ability to read, moving them out, rolling them around a lot, like I think makes sense, to where you're splitting the field in half, making the reads really – like I think those are things that, if it were me, I'd be focused on with Tate to try to alleviate some of his over-processing, especially early on in that atmosphere, let him get comfortable. That's going to be super important. And then, you're playing to strengths too. And so I think that makes sense. And like, this isn't, like – yeah, I don't know what the game plan is going to be, but I do know that those are his strengths. I know when we've seen him before, against Louisville last year, the RPO was kind to him. Like that was his friend. That skinny post glance deal was really good to him. And FSU's gone to that with Jordan many times this year when the offense kind of bogs down a little bit. Like that's kind of a bread and butter deal. So the next part of that, guys, is offensive line's got to be his friend today.
I think they're the position group that has to step up the most. They did not have a great showing for some of the North Alabama game. There's no reason you should be getting pressure in that game often.
Early on, especially. Yeah.
Jeremiah Byers has to be good. We have to have a good version of him on Saturday. It's peaks and valleys, and it's painful. I like the kid a lot. I think he's fully capable of being really good, but the inconsistencies have been brutal.
Yeah, and it's – I don't know what it is. Is it a focus thing? Is it just – I don't really know. But it's so vastly different the way he plays game to game. He had a good streak there, you know, heading out of October and into November.
When he flushed Clemson and moved on from it.
Yeah,
it was like that Clemson game was a turnaround for him. And then,
I don't know if it was just, you know, taking your foot off the gas a little bit with an inferior opponent, but there's no reason you should be getting pushed back into the quarterback multiple times against a North Alabama front.
Florida's beefy up front, too. I don't know if they're ultra impressive in the sense of athleticism. They are large.
Yeah, they're large. And some of those guys can move. Like, I think the Caleb Banks kid that they got from Louisville, the transfer, the interior D lineman, is a pretty good athlete. Doesn't blow you away. But like, they, for instance, I think the guy you're really referencing is Desmond Watson, who's, you know, over 400 pounds, a big human being.
That would be the definition of beef.
Yeah. So he's got the ability to plug up running lanes and he's obviously someone you have to monitor.
Princeton's really good.
I'm interested. Obviously, we can't talk about injuries or who we think's going to start or play. But I'm interested to see kind of how the personnel looks along the offensive line, because we did see multiple formations of that offensive line due to injuries against North Alabama. Most notably, I think, was the Maurice Smith getting removed from the game and then Darius Washington taking his place. I'm interested to see kind of how that dynamic rolls out this week and into the weekend. I know a lot of FSU fans were thinking that the line looked better with Darius at center, but we know that Maurice is a much more experienced center. Darius is a bigger guy in general. So
just snaps are quicker with Maurice versus Darius.
Yeah. And he understands communication. Like, they've talked about that before, how well he communicates with his fellow offensive linemen. But yeah, like I said, I think that's the group that needs to step up. You can't be, Tate can't be under pressure a ton, because like Brendan said, obviously some of that's because Tate's holding on to the ball for too long, but don't give him a reason to make a bad mistake in a hostile environment. Just, he's got to be protected, and they need to do a better job in the run blocking as well.
It's an old Jimboism, but if every drive offensively should end in a kick. That should be FSU's goal on Saturday. Either an extra point, a field goal.
I think he took that like too literally them and they punted. Oh,
no, I know. But like, my point more so is like, can't have the take getting whacked backside and fumbling. Can't have the take got pressured and threw a pick because, you know, he was worried. It's got to be like, even when the drives aren't successful, they need to end with a punt. Put it in Alex's hands and change the field position.
And especially with, like, as you talk about team football, like, UF has a redshirt freshman quarterback who, like, Max Brown had some really nice moments against Missouri, but we'll get ahead of ourselves talking about the other side of the ball. But, like, is he going to lead, like, a 30-point performance against you? And right. If so,
five games has 12 passing attempts.
If that happens, then that's a larger discussion of the defense not carrying you when you needed them to. You can't give them short fields. You can't we've been spoiled with covering Jordan Travis is that he doesn't turn the ball over very often. Like, that is not something that Jordan did. He protected the ball. They talked about that all season. Like, he protects the football at a really high level. Tate with limited data points, not as much. Some of that's unfair if you're going way back, right? But like, we're there at practice, Chris. We know who the cleanest person is who's keeping the football safe.
Right.
And we know who isn't. And like that A-game Tate is a legitimate, like, when he harnesses that A-game, like, it is a thing of beauty. It is legitimate, like, NFL tools. There is an F-game Tate out there, too, that we've seen before.
Not as much, luckily. Recently, especially.
Not as much recently.
Tate has progressed really well. Right? You can go watch, and coaches are going to say what coaches are going to say, what Tony Tokars, Mike Norvell, others talking about. But even a guy like Fabian Lovett, who I thought was ultra straightforward yesterday with that comment.
So much so that the actual FSU like YouTube account cut it out of the video.
Hey, you got to protect your man.
He said, or just so that our viewers know, he said that Tate used to be called Pick Six Tate because they used to pick the ball off and return it for a touchdown in practice a lot when he first got here.
He's gone away from that. Thanks.
That has changed, he said.
But like he's still, like any quarterback, fully capable of it. Most quarterbacks don't only throw two picks while throwing for, what, 2,700 yards before they got hurt, which was Jordan. So on the context of turnovers, you know, FSU has 15 turnovers gained on the year and only five lost, which is a mind-blowingly low number. Three fumbles lost, two picks. Florida, on the other hand, only has seven takeaways while having lost 11 turnovers, seven fumbles, four interceptions thrown by UF. So UF's not particularly good at taking it away, which plays into the whole their defense just hasn't been very good this year. But you don't want them to have an off day in the sense of having a much better day than normal for them.
Yeah, can't make it easy for them. You need to force that offense to drive. Tate has it in him to really have some electric throws. You sprinkle those in, protect the football. You need the run game, I think, to be your friend too. I think that's a big part of this. Zach alluded to it with the offensive line play. I think Trey Benson has a big game.
Yeah,
I like the way he practiced this week. Today, I loved. He was just like joking around with like the backup specialist, like pretending to kick the ball while they were kind of the side waiting for the ones to do field goal stuff. It's good to see him light, relaxed. I thought he ran really well this week too. He was someone who obviously like wore his emotions very, very out there on his sleeve, and had a hard time with watching what happened to his friend on this past Saturday. So like, I think the way he's carried himself in practice this week has been encouraging, and you need him and the entire running back group to run hard, be efficient, find the gaps that are there, and help take pressure off of Tate Rodemaker. So I think that's all there. It's on the table. Like, you know, I think there's a potential for you to get over 30 points against this defense that exists. And if you do that, I think you're in a really good spot. Let's take a quick commercial. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to add, Florida is allowing 27.9 per game, which is 85th in the nation. So,
but what's it been in the last four games, Chris?
33 allowed, 52 allowed, 39 allowed. That was an overtime against Arkansas, and 43 allowed to Georgia. And even before that, they had the shootout with South Carolina where they allowed 39. So over the last five, it's been a bloodbath. Vanderbilt, they only allowed 14, and that was back on October 7th. So damn near 2 months removed from that.
So yeah, that is on the table for you to go ahead and score a healthy amount of points. I think if you do that, you're in really good shape because – well, we'll get back to it after this commercial break, but UF's offense.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Unless you're watching on YouTube and then you just saw me be silent for like a second. The production quality, get what you
movie
pay
magic.
For, guys. UF's offense, I find to be really interesting because their skill talent is the best it's been in several years. Like, it is really good. Chris, real quick, let's get into the skill talent before we kind of talk about them holistically.
Talking about UF skill talent,
yes.
Offensively?
Yes.
Yeah, so two-headed rushing attack with Trevor Etienne and Montrell Johnson. They both have 710 rushing yards on the dot. Kind of a wild stat, statigami, if you want to say. 737 gained each, 27 loss each, 710 total each. Etienne averages 5.9 per carry. Johnson averages 5.3 per carry. Etienne has 8 touchdowns on the ground, while Johnson has 4. Florida as a whole has 20, so 8 other touchdowns beyond those two guys on the ground. Receivers, we're all very familiar with Ricky Pearsall, thanks to the first half of last season's game where he went apeshit. 11 games this year, 64 receptions, 948, and 4 touchdowns. And then you got Eugene Wilson III, who is a very speedy, athletic dude, a guy that you can do some eye candy stuff with, which after last week with North Alabama pulling every trick out of the bag, it wouldn't shock me if Florida maybe goes with some of those ideas. But Eugene Wilson's second on the team and had only played in 9 games, 58 receptions, 502, and 6 receiving touchdowns, which leads the Gators. So those are kind of the big two guys to know from a receiving standpoint. The backs that we mentioned are the 5th and 6th best receivers on a team as far as yardage. Johnson's got 30 for 236 and a touchdown, while Etienne has 18 for 173 and a touchdown through the air. We referenced earlier they're on Max Brown, backup quarterback. He's played in 5 games this year, only has 12 passing attempts, 10 of 12, no picks, 106 yards through the air, no touchdowns. Longest completion is 27 yards. Average per game on the season, only 21 yards. So it just speaks to how little he's played.
That's for Max,
one other thing
for
to throw in there.
The long Chris is 27 yards, you said?
27 yards is his longest completion.
I think that was like
Mertz
a
61 yarder.
All right.
So, one thing with Florida, and obviously a lot of the passing stats are obviously Mertz. He had 358 of their 374 attempts on the season entering this game. They're a high completion percentage team, hovering around, I think it's 73% as a team. So, like, it kind of speaks to a controlled passing game in the sense of a lot of underneath stuff and whatnot. It'll be interesting with Brown how they approach it. Are they going to be super controlled and maybe try to run ball and control things with Brown getting comfortable? Or do they maybe try to open it up and get shots of Pearsall or get something where Wilson's in space and is able to use his speed because he has very high-level speed?
Okay. I think that's a good summary. I will say, just adding on that, Etienne does scare the crap out of me. I think he's very good. If I'm Florida State, and I liked what I saw in a very small sample size for Max Brown, watching some of that, did a little bit of watching it with Dane this morning while we had a little bit of break at practice. And like, yeah, that he's fairly mobile, more quick than he is like an explosive athlete, but he's got quick feet and he's tough. He'll sit in there and make a throw. He didn't seem flustered at all against Missouri. That's really encouraging for UF long-term, not as encouraging for FSU if you have to play in the next couple of years. But his wide receivers help him out a ton too. And I think that's going to be an element of like, you know, what I would do if I'm Florida State is I force that young, inexperienced quarterback to beat you through the air. And those wide receivers keep beating you on 50-50 balls, so be it. But they want to run the football. It's a Billy Napier staple. Their offensive line might be a little dinged up. We'll probably have more on that as the week goes on, hopefully.
I don't think their offensive line is all that great, even if they are healthy.
All right. The
center has been out for much of the year. Kingsley, I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Akuna. Is it Akuna?
That sounds right. So they've been starting Jake Slaughter, who, if you remember, was a former Florida State commit. Mm-hmm. And I think Austin Barber was a tackle for them that was out last week. Maybe that's a guy that they're monitoring for this week. And the good thing about UF is they actually drop an injury report, I think, during the week. So you'll kind of get to know like what their injury status is heading into the game this weekend. But yeah, I mean, I think the offensive line is not a strength for them. There's a lot of talk about how they have two offensive line coaches and recruiting hasn't been all that great. And I know they're not super satisfied with what they've done with the guys currently on the team. So that'll be something that, you know, I think Florida State's defensive line and front seven in general needs to take advantage of, because we know how important, like you said, Brendan, UF's running game is to the success of that offense. And they really, you know, they're not an insane running team. Like, they're not, you know, putting up crazy yards on everyone, but Trevor Etienne's an insanely talented player, and Montrell Johnson is not far behind him when it comes to talent. Mm-hmm. So they can make play, you know, make things happen on their own, even if, you know, things aren't perfectly blocked up by that.
Yeah, those are both Sunday running backs, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Zach referenced it. They're 77. God, I am struggling today. I need this Mountain Dew to get through my bloodstream. They're 77th in the country in rushing yards per game, 150.2. And I know that's not the end all be all, but it is surprising when you look at the two very capable backs that they have, that their rushing offense isn't a upper half tier rushing offense in the country. And some of that's probably because they have been involved in somewhat a lot of shootouts and stuff like that. And you tend to lean into the passing game more. I'm sure that has played a role as well.
Their EPA per play has been on offense, passing the ball 23rd nationally, and EPA per play rushing the ball has been 29th. So fairly balanced, like when you look at the advanced stuff there, but surprising to see for sure that the passing game's a little bit ahead of the running attack.
Bad rushing games for them. They were dreadful against Utah. If you recall, in the opener, they only rushed for 13 yards in that game. And they also struggled against South Carolina running the ball. Those have been their two biggest struggles in the rushing attack. The best game they've had from a yard per carry average was 7 yards per carry. That came against Vandy. Take a common opponent, LSU. They ran for 4.31 per carry against.
That's an awful LSU defense as well.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, I'm surprised that one's that low. But well, again, all super that, well. That was a 52-35 game. You know. Dynamics of a game sometimes impact your results too.
Evans, you ran the ball well in the second half, buddy. Never forget the running back set. Yeah.
The Ronnie Hill run will forever stick in my mind from that game. But UF secondary is interesting to me. They are really young, besides, you know, the one guy, Jason Marshall, who Florida State's obviously familiar with. Recruited him a little bit out of high school, and he's been kind of their best DB, I would say, this year.
Devin Moore is done for them, right? He got hurt.
I don't know if I haven't heard if he's done, but I do know he was out this past game. It sounds like he probably won't play. I haven't checked on it this week though. So, but he was the other starting corner aside from Jason Marshall. And then they got some true freshmen playing in the back half of the defense who are pretty impressive. I think one is Bryce Thornton and the other one is Jordan Castell, who's actually from your neck of the woods.
West right? Orange High, baby.
Yeah,
Castell actually leads the team with 59 tackles on the season.
And yeah, he's been good.
Solo.
He's been
really good. Liked him. Remember, he did a 7-on-7 at FSU. We liked him a lot. He was
big, long kid, physical enough build, rangy enough. FSU
offered him.
Yeah, how will they ever pursue at all?
I think that's a pretty good get for UF. But obviously, starting a true freshman in the secondary, there's going to be issues along the way, bumps in the ride, but – you know, they're investing in some of the youth on defense. We'll see kind of how that, you know, pays for them in the future. But for right now, I think that's, you got to look at that as an advantage for Florida State coming into this game with multiple veteran wideouts who have a clear size advantage on UF's secondary and moving, you know, into the front seven with the linebackers. Like, their top linebackers out for the year, Shamar James.
He is actually still second on the team in tackles, despite having only played in 8 games.
He's missed four games?
Yeah, he's only played in 8, so this will be his 4th game miss coming up.
Gotcha. So, yeah, Shamar James is their best linebacker by far. Derek Wingo is an athletic kid. FSU is a little involved with him out of the high school process, but I think he picked between UF, Miami, and one other school at the end. He's out of South Florida. He's a good player, but I've seen some UF, you know, fans complain about him being out of place and kind of getting lost, in run support as well as in coverage. So, you know, Jaheim Bell, if you're looking for kind of a mismatch right there, that could be something to watch, or any of the other tight ends that Florida State cycles through normally on offense. That's just kind of my evaluation of U.S. defense. I've been watching a few games throughout the year.
Are you a U.F. fan too? Like you're a U.M. fan? Or
real quick on who's going to pressure Tate potentially. It's Princely against what a U.
Umami Nolan.
There you go. You nailed it. That's why we keep you around, Zach. He is credited officially in stats. I don't know what PFF says. 13 quarterback hurries. He leads them with 11 tackles for loss and 6.5 sacks.
So he's by far their best. By far their best pass rusher. And he's a guy that throughout the years like actually gotten into it with like Gator fans on Twitter, which I've found kind of funny.
I like him more already.
Yeah, but he's a good player. Like he's a guy that can cause issues for you off the edge. I think along their defensive front, like even in the interior, he's the most impressive prospect. Like I said before, the interior guys, you know, they can do some things, but like you said, Chris, they're more big and physical rather than, you know, get up the field and go at you. If you're looking for guys to worry about along UF's defensive front, I think Princely Umamielen is the name to watch.
I do always like looking at like who did the sacks come against, and it's not the end all be all. We've learned that with Jared versus here, he's had good pressure against people. He had 2.5 of his 6.5 sacks come against Arkansas, against Georgia, LSU. He was shut out. He had 1 against South Carolina. So just something there. What's up, Brendan?
He's upset.
I'm just happy that we've made this a quick, speedy podcast. We've delved into recruiting history on players for UF, and I'm sure our audience loves it. As someone who has to go in 10 minutes and still has another segment to do, less appreciative of the punctuality of my colleagues. But I digress. If I didn't just do that rant, we'd be moving along right now. So once again, it comes back.
Here, let me slow things down again. For any of you guys that are big FSU fans and maybe aren't subscribe to Knowles247.com. This is the literal perfect time to do it. We have our best deal of the year going on right now, 75% off an annual subscription. I think someone did the calculation. It's like 50 cents a week, $27 for the entire year of coverage. And it's, like I said, the perfect time because there's so much going on over the course of the next month. The transfer portal opens very soon, right after the ACC championship game. And then we've got the signing day for high school recruits coming up on December 20th. We're going to have a ton of coverage on that. Plus, you know, whatever happens in the postseason for your Seminoles. So head over to Knowles247.com right now. The deal's only lasting for, I think, until Sunday. So make sure to capitalize on that if you want to be in on the intel all the time.
A little birdie told me we had a really good first day, third in the network, which is great. I can't say who's first, but it might be to a rival school. So, you know, if you want to give us some bragging rights internally in the 24/7 network, inside the 24/7 sports network, it'd be really cool if we can keep climbing the ladder. So we appreciate the support so far.
This is a big competition for Brendan specifically, so.
I don't know if it's any more for me than for anyone else. I just like winning, and we win a lot in this.
Win with us.
Win with us. What do you think about that, Chris?
Win and you're in. That's for Dane. That's
or as my typo was in the story yesterday, win or you're in. It's like a threat.
We're not the least bit tired.
No, it's been a emotionally draining week or so. Let's talk real quick about recruiting, Zach. A couple OVs that have been put on the docket that we, you know, recently confirmed. So first, who sponsors our recruiting segment, and then please, in a timely fashion, before I have to go, let us know what's happening there. All right, hey, real quick, guys. Editorializing, like I can just go, like legitimately, if we're running late, I'll go, and you guys finish off the podcast. But go ahead.
We're good. The recruiting segment is sponsored by Football Coach College Dynasty, not tired. Football Coach College Dynasty is the number one college football management game for PC. It's on sale right now, actually, for Black Friday. It's only $10. It's available on Steam. Go not take stream. Advantage of that. Not stream, like Chris likes to say, Steam. That's definitely something you're going to want to take advantage of. An awesome game that I have a lot of fun playing. And I know I've run into some Knowles247 subscribers at some games in Doe Campbell Stadium, and they were saying the same thing. So a lot of fun. Take advantage of that. Getting into recruiting talk, I reported today on Knowles247.com that FSU locked in an official visit, the final official visit for Coy Parrish. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. That's Dane's favorite recruit of this cycle.
They kind of look alike, so it makes
sense. Yeah, you could say that. He's out of Minnesota. He's a Minnesota commit. 6'1", 195 pounds. He's a 93 grade in the 24/7 Sports top 247 rankings. 84 player overall, number 8 safety in the country. I will note, although he's listed as a safety in the rankings, FSU views him as a linebacker. The next level, he's on their linebacker board. Randy Shannon's communicating with him, and that's how they got that official visit scheduled for December 15th through the 17th. It's a big deal. He's a really big-time prospect. He's kind of a late bloomer, a guy that Minnesota locked up all the way back in April, rose in the rankings a ton on 24/7 Sports. And then this fall, as his senior film has started to spread around the country, some big-time schools have come calling, including Florida State, Ohio State, and USC. I would characterize Ohio State as kind of the biggest threat to flip him as of right now, just from kind of on the outside looking into this recruitment. I haven't really truly delved in to the inner workings of things with Coy Parrish, but I know that Ohio State is working hard to flip him, and they also have an official visit scheduled with him for the December 8th through the 10th weekend, which is the week before the FSU visit. It is a good sign that, you know, if everything holds true, Florida State will get him on campus for his final trip before early signing day on the 20th of December, which is that Wednesday following the weekend of his visit. So that could be a positive sign. We'll kind of see how the numbers work out, because Florida State, you know, I think they have 22 commits right now in their 2024 class. They've got some other guys that they're looking to add, and there will be a big official visit weekend the week prior to that, on the December 8th through the 10th weekend. And, you know, we'll see kind of if anyone else joins the fold and how that impacts things. But I do think FSU might be interested in taking another high school linebacker. They're involved with Coy Parrish as well as Aaron Childs, who's a Florida commit, a top 247 member as well. He's been committed to UF since, I think, the summer. Is actually going to be at the UF-FSU game in Gainesville this weekend. And I think Florida State's been active there. Apparently, they've had some pretty good discourse, according to some sources surrounding that recruitment, in the past few weeks. I think an OV could be scheduled between Childs and FSU moving forward. We'll kind of see if that occurs. I think if FSU beats UF in the Swamp on Saturday, that could go a long way towards making that happen. But as of right now, he's saying all the right things, Aaron Childs is, about the Gators. That's one to monitor kind of in the next, you know, the coming weeks as to whether FSU can pull off a flip there. Another guy I want to note just really quickly, Brendan, because I know I want to take up more of your time. Lugard Edapai out of Bishop McNamara in District Heights, Maryland. 6'6", 215-pound defensive end that FSU's been active with. He set up an OV to FSU as well for that December 15th through the 17th weekend. I think that's one that could be impacted on, you know, what FSU sees enter the portal at the beginning of December. The portal opens on December 4th. So I think that's, you know, obviously Florida State's going to put a premium on adding guys at the edge position specifically. So if any, you know, notable names come up in the portal before that OV weekend, maybe that impacts things with that recruitment out of the high school ranks. But that's pretty much it for the recruiting segment. What's up, Brendan?
Chris, he was going slow on purpose, right? No. There's no way he wasn't going slow, talking real slow, like elaborated and
unsafe. I felt like he was reading a hostage note at one point as he was making sure. And I appreciate it. I get talking too fast at times. I feel like Machine Gun Jimbo at times. So like, you know, he was making sure he was processing it correctly. But watching Brendan react to Zach talk with a subsequent text message about it.
You're just a hater.
Pretty great. That was good stuff. We're just under the time crunch. All right, let's get out of here. By Orson Owned, sponsored by
the Turner Group.
Florida State beats Florida to finish off the regular season 12-0.
I will buy that. I think FSU will win. I don't think it will be an easy win. I think the score will be uncomfortably tight, but I think FSU wins.
I'll buy that as well. I agree completely with Chris. I think, I don't know what the spread is now, but it was too big at the beginning of the week. And I don't think FSU is going to cover if it's, you know, more than a touchdown or a touchdown, but I think they'll win in a close game.
All right. Final prediction. Now we're just getting it all truncated here. Sponsored by The Battle's End. If you like rosters that can go 11-0 and maybe potentially 12-0 and, you know, just win a lot of football games, The Battle's End is a place where you can go and support and be part of that collective and be a part of FSU's roster building and retaining and providing support for your favorite FSU players, giving them NIL opportunities. All right. My prediction, without thinking about it very much, I think it's a race to 24 points. I think FSU wins 27-21. Does that make sense? FSU 27, Florida 21. Chris.
Go ahead, Zach.
Anyone? Oh, anyone? Oh, I got 2 minutes. Go.
All right. I'll go. I've literally given this very little thought outside of I believe it will be a tight one.
All right. Bye. You guys finish it off.
Florida State 29, Florida 27.
Okay.
Florida State 31, Florida 29.
All right, awesome. Great. Good stuff, guys. This has been Brendan Sinone, Zach Blaustein, Chris Nee for On the Bench. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you for everyone listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Talk to you on Saturday or Sunday or Monday. I don't know.
Told you imaginary friends are real.
This is just so exciting.
Now, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If, rated PG, parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.